Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Chalet Hotels Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO, and Mr. Milind Wadekar, CFO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO, Chalet Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rochelle. Good morning, and thank you for your time today, ladies and gentlemen. We've moved from a strong performance in March to a stronger succeeding quarter. After three tumultuous waves of the pandemic, we witnessed six consecutive good months. I'm gonna sort of talk you through that and then hand over to Milind to share some key numbers from his side, and then we'll move to a Q&A after that. We are happy to announce a back to normal performance with Chalet Hotels with the best Q1 performance till date. Our hospitality business posted an occupancy of 78% in the first quarter and an ADR of 7,457, higher by 37% from the preceding quarter. The division's revenue was 5% higher than Q1 of FY20, the pre-pandemic years. The business was assisted by the IPL season in Mumbai, strong recovery of business travel in Q1. Domestic business segment clocked 100% higher room nights than 2019, and recovery in room nights of foreign travel was 56%. I'm glad to share that Westin Powai, JW Marriott Sahar, and Novotel Pune exceeded revenues of Q1 FY20. Westin Hyderabad and Four Points Sheraton in Vashi matched FY20 revenues. Our Marriott Whitefield trailed, but is now showing very strong recovery trends in the last few weeks. The portfolio F&B revenue was higher by 14%. That, when I'm saying higher by 14%, I'm referring again to Q1 of FY20. I'm glad to share that the hospitality revenue for the quarter was up 5% from Q1 2020 at 2.3 billion. The divisional EBITDA outperformed the Q1 FY20 EBITDA by 11%. Reduction of certain fixed costs helped deliver GOP for our hotel division at 48% as against 45% in Q1 FY20. The EBITDA for the division was 950 million for this year. Our room to employee ratio remained a very healthy 0.87 at the end of June, despite high occupancies, and this includes all employees, including contracts and fixed-term contracts. We maintained payroll costs at 13% of revenue as compared to 15% in the full year of FY20. Utilities as a percentage of revenue were at 6% as against an average of 7% in FY20. The consolidated revenue for the company for the quarter was 2.6 billion rupees, with an EBITDA of rupees 1.1 billion, which is the highest Q1 revenue and EBITDA for the company till date. Our revenue and EBITDA growth over Q1 FY20 was 6% and 27% respectively. Milind will walk you through the detailed financials and the debt position shortly. Development of the new commercial towers, and now I'm talking about the projects in pipeline. So the new commercial towers at Bangalore and Mumbai are moving rapidly to completion. Conversion of the mall at Bangalore is expected to be delayed by a couple of months, but within the same quarter. The second phase of renovation at Westin Powai is underway with the main ballroom and six room floors out of operation. We expect to hand over the ballroom by mid-August and the room floors by December. The 168 room new hotel at Hyderabad is expected to be operational by the last quarter of the current financial year. At Novotel Pune, the expansion of 88 rooms is on track for completion by Q3. We are also evaluating the upgradation and conversion of the Accenture Learning Center building at Bengaluru to add 190 rooms to the erstwhile 324 rooms at Marriott Whitefield. That'll take the total inventory in the range of about in excess of 500 rooms making that again the largest hotel in the city. On the leasing front, barring the 17,000 square foot of the commercial area of the Orb in Sahar, everything else is leased out. I'm pleased to share that in Bangalore, we have an LOI in place for leasing 3 floors to a single tenant, with the potential 2 more floors being signed by them in a few weeks. The commercial terms have been closed at 60 rupees a square foot, 9% higher than the earlier estimates. I'm delighted to share that we've been declared successful bidders for a terminal hotel at T3 Delhi International Airport and will be working closely with the team at DAL to take the project forward. The hotel will have somewhere between 350 to 400 rooms and will be positioned in the 5-star luxury segment. The hotel is expected to be commissioned in or before FY26. This project will give us a strong foothold in North India and access to the very important market of New Delhi. Just so that I can elaborate a little bit about more about this project, this building that is going to be built by DIAL and then fitted out by us is literally the road across the arrival section of the terminal, which means travelers can potentially just walk in from the terminal building into the hotel with their bags and trolleys. Moving on, our focus on ESG continues to be high. We now get 61% of the electricity from renewable sources as against 53% in March of 22. We are also making progress in our committed goals to the climate group, and we expect to report back significant success on that in the coming months. I'm also very happy to share that this year we've been ranked 4th in the prestigious list of India's great mid-sized workplaces. This is the 3rd consecutive year that the company has been certified by the Great Place to Work Institute. And this time, our rank of 4 makes us the best ranked hotel company in the category. All in all, ladies and gentlemen, a very good quarter, strong business recovery, good leasing traction, an inorganic growth opportunity aligned with the declared growth strategy, and a very gratifying recognition of our work culture. We are excited about the business outlook and aim to surpass revenue and EBITDA numbers of FY20 fairly comfortably in this year, which is a year ahead of our earlier estimate. On that happy note, I now hand over to Milind to take you through some of the key numbers for the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me reiterate that Chalet has seen best quarter one in April and June 22. Let me now take you through financials in some more details. Reported revenue for the quarter was at 2.6 billion, which was higher than quarter four FY22 due to business operations resuming back. As compared to Q1 FY20, the company marked a growth of 6%, backed by robust recovery in hospitality and higher rental as compared to the base period. During the quarter, the company received an interest income on income tax refund of rupees 30 million and accounted rupees 16 million as reversal of provision for expenses of earlier year. Adjusted for this, EBITDA was little over billion, which was 3 times quarter four FY22 EBITDA and 23% growth for the same quarter of FY20. The EBITDA margins for the quarter was at 42% for the company. The company reported profit after tax at 286 million, an improvement from loss of 115 million in the sequential quarter. This was after taking into account reversal of deferred tax assets of rupees 104 million. The hospitality segment contributed 88% to the total income of the company in Q1 FY23. Occupancy for the quarter averaged at 78%, higher by 23 percentage points sequentially and 3 percentage points from pre-pandemic Q1 FY20. The ADR for the quarter was higher by 37% at rupees 7457 as against Q4 FY22 and showed a 92% recovery from pre-COVID period. Revenue from hospitality was at 2.3 billion in the quarter, and EBITDA was marginally shy of rupees 1 billion. The segment reported margins of 41.4% for the quarter, as against 38.8% in Q1 FY20, showcasing efficiencies built over the last 2 years are at play, while business caught up to pre-pandemic levels. Favorable demand-supply dynamics point to a strong revival in rates and sectoral upcycle. This, along with our efficiencies, is likely to result in higher flow-throughs from hospitality. Two of our major cost heads for hospitality, first, payroll cost was 13% of revenue in Q1 as compared to 15% payroll cost in FY20. And secondly, utility cost as a percentage of revenue reduced to 6% as against 7% in FY20. The rental and annuity segment contributed to 9% of total revenue for the company. The revenue and EBITDA from the segment was at 231 and 183 million for the quarter respectively, with efficiencies of around 80%. The net debt of the company from March 22 to June 22 was flat at 22.3 billion. While the company spent 0.9 billion on capex during the period, it was largely funded by internal accruals. The company has capex plan of 7 billion over the next 4-5 quarters to complete under construction, commercial and hospitality assets. When we say 7 billion, this does not include any capex on phase 4. Business is well funded with strong internal accruals and available lines of credit. Considering all under construction projects of the company has a total of 9 billion of CWIP across hospitality and rental assets. These investments are expected to generate revenue of revenue over next 3-4 quarters and free up the balance sheet. The average cost of rupee loan was at 7.55%. We have cash and cash equivalent as on June 22 of 0.8 billion and rupees 7.5 billion available lines of credit for general corporate purpose and planned capex. On our residential development at Koramangala, we are awaiting last municipal approvals and RERA registration. There has been another rupees 250 million new subscription from promoters on 0% non-convertible redeemable preference shares for funding the outflows relating to the residential project at Koramangala. The total subscription now stands at 2,000 million as of June 22. With this, we now open the floor to questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Varikar. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may enter star and then one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on an encouraging quarter. So, Sanjay, firstly, on the recovery, MMR with 65% contribution of the hospitality segment revenue clearly remained an outlier apart from Pune, where we've seen an incremental contribution when you compare it with pre-COVID. However, can you give us some sense on the revenue contribution from IPL specifically during the quarter? And also, your blended occupancy in June was 73% versus 80% in April, May. So can you give some specifics? How would be the stack up across micro markets in June versus the rest of the quarter?
Sure, Karan. Thank you for your question. Good to connect with you again. Look, IPL was a contributor for the months of April and May, and they moved out sometime in the end of May. So we had about, I think, 20th May is when they moved out. And there was that impact in our Mumbai hotels as they moved out from the teams that were staying with us, as well as the compression in the market got eased up. Having said that, the occupancies have remained healthy since then too. So the fact that we remained at, you know, low to mid 75% occupancies in the subsequent month indicates that the market is robust, even if we exclude, one-off events that happened in the city. And it's only growing from here. The other thing I want to highlight is that, remember, the foreign travel is not back as yet. Only about 56% of the foreign travel is back. UK has improved better than US. US was the largest contributor. And the US market is, foreign travel, business travel into India is slow because of just two reasons, actually. One, they have found it difficult to get the visas. So that is sort of getting sorted out at the MEA level to improve the speed to give them work visas. And second, very importantly, because of the Russia-Ukraine war, they couldn't take the North Pole route, which they would traditionally take to come into India, thereby making the flights longer. And the US travelers didn't want to take the headache of coming through either Amsterdam, Frankfurt, or London, because those airports are in a mess right now. But we have now got confirmation of new schedules from a couple of US airlines for direct flights into Mumbai, Hyderabad, and Bangalore. And that's going to help improve. If you recall, on all my earlier conversations, I have said that foreign travel will come back to normal by quarter three of this year, and I think we are well on track for that to happen. Coming to flavor on occupancies, I think June was roughly around 73% occupancies, and we've got July again trading at about 74% occupancies, 75 actually almost occupancies on a month-to-date basis as of now. So clearly, we are holding the occupancies. If you recall the pre-pandemic occupancy numbers, before the pandemic hit in March, we were at 75%. So if we exclude March, even at the higher occupancies of the 11 months of FY20, the occupancy was 75%. Now, what has happened with this mix of foreign travel versus Indian travel? The rates haven't moved up as sharply as they potentially could, but a 37% quarter-on-quarter jump is a fairly healthy improvement. And as we fill up and get back the foreign travelers, I see that climbing up pretty rapidly too, especially in the second half of the year. Is there anything else I missed?
No, I think that pretty much covers up the question. Just talking about your Delhi expansion, you know, while we understand this is a fairly strategic location and would give you the benefit of being amongst the first preference given the proximity to the airport. But can you talk about the demand-supply dynamics of the micro market, in particular Aerocity, and also with Marriott already having a hotel in the vicinity, what would be your choice of preferred brand here, given even Westin will fall under the same umbrella and could cause a conflict of interest?
So let me answer this. So I don't have the exact numbers on the demand-supply, but Delhi has been the early starter on recovery on an all-India basis after the pandemic. It continues to record high occupancies and reasonably good ADRs, if not better, they're at par with Mumbai. And the micro-market of the Aerocity has been the strongest within that NCR region. As I highlighted, this hotel is actually going to be connected with the Terminal 3. In addition to that, T2 now, which is there, which is being expanded, renovated, and rechristened as T4, also connects to the hotel directly. So basically, passengers from T3 and what will be the future T4, both will get an opportunity to access within very comfortable walking distance the hotel, which takes away the complete headache of waiting for a car, a taxi, or organizing an Uber and Ola. So I think we see this hotel having a distinct advantage. On your question regarding the brand, early days, we are in conversation with a couple of brands. And you mentioned only the two married brands. This field is open for brands across the brand portfolio and brand scape in India. And we're not restricting ourselves only to conversation with Marriott. You rightly mentioned Marriott already has, I think, 650, 700 or maybe more than that, 700 odd rooms operating, and they're building another 1,000 rooms there. So clearly, they're going to be quite stretched with the inventory that they have there. We're exploring all opportunities there. We'll come back as and when we firm up the brand partner there.
Sure. But talking about the CAPEX here, because you mentioned that the cold shell will be delivered by Delhi International Airport Limited, but the interiors and other fit-out works will be completed by Chalet.
Yes,
so against that context, can you give some sense on the overall cost involved in terms of the auction and CAPEX which should be incurred by Chalet, and how do you plan to fund the same given you're already undergoing CAPEX for commercial assets apart from the hotel expansion at Pune and Hyderabad?
Sure. So Milind already shared the lines of credit that we have and the access to capital. You've got to remember that Chalet has really never had a problem with access to capital. And our ability to get capital, even if it's debt at very low rates, continues to be strong. If anything, is getting better. Second, as far as the CapEx spend here is concerned, we expect about 65 lakhs per key as a spend per room from our side. Besides, one we get the shell and the facade from Gal. On a CapEx cycle, keep in mind that the shell and the facade is to be built by Dial. So they are the ones who will be putting the early CapEx into this. Our CapEx intervention will not come in for maybe about 18 to 30 months or 24 months from now. So we'll probably start actually infusing capital in this particular project 24 months from now, 18 to 24 months from now. And by then, if you look at our five-year plan, our debt does come down very significantly by then. So we'll actually have inefficient size of debt, will you know, for a company that is on a very sharp growth plan. So we'll be happy to to raise more capital in any form that we can to fund this project. We really have no concerns on that. Milind, do you want to add something to this?
Yeah, hi Karan. Karan, so CapEx spend for this project will start in FY20, a major CapEx, FY25. And we'll start earning EBITDA from our under construction, commercial, and hospitality assets from FY24. And we'll be in a comfortable debt position in FY25 to fund this project.
Sure.
I just want to emphasize, there is no concern at our end on funding of this CapEx.
Sure. And lastly, on the leasing front, while you did mention about advanced stage of discussion for the Bengaluru asset, is it possible to give some specifics if you would be renting the entire asset to a single tenant, and some sense of the tenant profile and expected rental when GSM was set earlier? And also, will this include the entire 1 million square feet?
Okay, very quickly, because we spend a lot of time on this. Karan, I have confirmed that we have already signed 3 floors in an LOI for the new building there, which is 11 floors in all. So 3 are already signed with what we call the anchor tenant there. That same anchor tenant is potentially looking at 2 more floors. And we have other conversations, which I'm not at liberty to discuss right now, for the balance floors as far as the new IT building is concerned. As far as the conversion of mall to an office space is concerned, we are about 2 months behind the completion of the IT tower, so we are not rushing into this. As you've noticed, that we've been able to tie up higher rents than we were expecting earlier. We'd like to right time our leasing activity for the mall area also to get the maximum rental benefit out of that. Again, demand's extremely high, both in Bangalore and Pawai. The other thing that, in fact, Milind is reminding me to mention, that the metro at Whitefield is going to be launched sometime in December this year. And the station, from an office perspective, becomes extremely convenient for us. It's literally at our doorstep there.
Sure. Great. Thanks, Sanjay, Milind, and all the best.
Thank you, Karanak.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Aishwarya Agarwal from Nippon India. Please go ahead. I'm sorry, Mr. Agarwal, if you are on a speakerphone, could you please switch to your handset? We're getting some digital disturbance.
Very good performance in this quarter. Sir, I just want to understand, how do you see the revenue visibility from for this year, for the second half? I mean, I know that foreign travel is something which will add to the revenue in a meaningful way. But besides that, do you have some bookings and all, or do you see any mega events happening?
Thanks, Aishwarya.
Like IPL.
Aishwarya, thank you for the question, and you know, thank you for being on the call. Yeah, so look, we do have a lot of activity on the MICE segment because that gets booked out in advance. Both corporate events as well as social events, including weddings, seem to be trending extremely strongly. And, you know, our hotels in Mumbai, which is the West Inn in Powai, and the JW Marriott at the airport at Sahar, are very banquet intensive hotels. So we see that kicking up the revenue for us in the second half. In terms of business travel, the lead time is somewhere between 7 to 15 days. But looking at the current trends, and the fact that, you know, post the compression in the Mumbai market, which ended in around 20th May, the trends of business travel have been extremely strong and occupancies in the city have remained extremely robust and healthy. Today, if we are reporting 75% occupancy in June, this is, you've got to remember, without the 120 rooms at Powai, which are under renovation. And a very significant element for the Powai Hotel is its ballrooms. And that's been shut down for renovation. If you were to have that back, Powai would report much stronger numbers, and the 75% occupancy in any case would be much higher. To overview, we expect H2 to be stronger than H1, and we see rate recovery being very sharp for us in H2.
And then, sir, can you give some idea in terms of the occupancy which you see at this point of time for the second half? I mean, the bookings you already have for the MICE activity or from the weddings and all?
Actually, we've always shied away from giving any forward-looking numbers in the past. I don't want to break that trend. We have, of course, 5-year projections available with us, but, you know, and that gives us a lot of comfort. That's all I can take, you know, share with you at this point of time, that things are looking very, very positive.
Sure. And sir, one last question, in continuation. Like, IPL was an event which led to significant improvement in our occupancy and ARR day rates. So, I mean, you have give an idea that what kind of mega events potentially possible, say, in next 1.5 years?
So we do have large MICE events, as I mentioned earlier. I don't have the exact details of the events that are happening, but the standard events that happen with us, whether they are medical events that happen on an annual basis, the gems and jewelry shows, the oil and gas events that happen, which are pretty prevalent in Mumbai, all of them would look very strong. The wedding business looks extremely strong in the H2. And when again, sure, since we'll have a banquet hall back at Powai, we expect a step up on revenues on that front, on that segment.
And that's very good, sir. Just one last question, because I'm not aware. When generally these gem and jewelry and the medical and the oil and gas events happen in the year?
They happen year round, actually. And we've already had one or two of them, frankly. And then the gems and jewelry and the medical ones, I think there are about 2 or 3 a year that happen, which are really big. We've had, I know, one gem and jewelry one. We've had one medical one. We see a lot more happening. You know, I don't want to take names of the companies, the big global MNCs which have had events now in our hotels in India. They've had global events in India already, and some of them are already booked for the coming months. But unfortunately, that's not data that we'd like to disclose. of the air privacy.
That's really good to know. Well, sir, thank you very much. Best of luck. I hope you people will do very well. One more question. I'm sorry. One is the demand and supply part. So now there is a significant demand is coming up from the different segments, and foreign travel has not yet started. So in that context, how do you look at the new hotel supply, say, next 2 to 3 years?
So the 5-year trend that we've have access to as data show very positive and favorable trend to drive rates and occupancies up. The expected CAGR on supply for the next 5 years is in the range of 4.5% to 5%. Demand is clearly going to outpace that by a large margin, and that's going to probably create at least 2 or 3 major step-ups on the rate front in the next maybe 2 to 4 quarters.
Great, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So can you talk about the pricing power the hotel industry is getting, and how sustainable it is, considering the pent-up demand going to be not there maybe after a couple of quarters?
So first, let me address the pricing part. Look, we saw pricing power being put to play when the IPL was happening in Mumbai. Hotel rooms shot back to 14,000-15,000 rupees. In fact, in some cases, close to 20,000 rupees on the visible rates, that is the bar rates that are best available, rates that are available to general public. And that's why the hotels are able to clean the market at that point of time. So revenue management is clearly at play. What we've got to keep in mind, we've come out of two very, very difficult years. The stage one for any industry is to first, you know, get a strong foothold and consolidate on capacity. And very often, you know, we all talk about occupancies. I look at vacancies. When we say we're 75% occupancy, I look at it as 25% vacancy. And my aim is always to fill in the vacant rooms with business, which is one-off or what we can call as MICE and other stuff, as against reducing rates for regular business that comes in form of transient or corporate. So those are annual contracts. So I think the industry is right now consolidating and making sure that they have the base occupancies filled up with long-term business. That's keeping the blended rates a little low as far as the business cities are concerned. Second, with the foreigners not back in full stream, in fact, we are only halfway down there, that itself should take another 800 to 1,000 rupees up on the rate front quite comfortably. So to give you an overview, I think the supply-demand gap will create rate upside. The other question that you had was, if you could just remind me on that.
So I was talking about this, assuming pent-up demand is not going to be there in like after a couple of quarters.
Yeah. So look, pent-up demand has happened in very small segments. If you look at pent-up demand, it's probably happened in weddings to a certain extent. It has happened to some amount of off-site business that happens with corporates. But business travel doesn't really have pent-up demand. If someone had to travel in the past, they were traveling. I mean, we at Chalet were traveling throughout the 2 years, for example, during the pandemic, where we were allowed to travel by government laws. So business travel is need-based travel. It is not discretionary. It is not leisure. So therefore, I don't think there's any pent-up demand. What is happening now is stable demand as far as business travel is concerned. You may see some pent-up demand on the MICE segment, but that also, I think, more or less as a pent-up demand is out of the way. If anything, it will be on off-sites from leisure destinations. I don't see that happening in business cities as a challenge.
Okay. Now, coming to Chalet's strategy to expand in other key markets, and we are entering into New Delhi. and New Delhi is a prominent market, and we are entering, maybe our hotel is opening after 5 years. Do you think we can go for the inorganic opportunity and have a hotel in that market to grab the upcycle for the hotel industry?
Just be clear. You're talking about Delhi, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, look, firstly, it's not only 5 years. We're looking at 3. Secondly, if there are more opportunities in Delhi, we're open to look at them. Delhi is... So, if you recall, our stated strategy was the following in terms of inorganic growth. One, get into a couple of leisure destinations. Goa and drivable distance hill locations were the two micro strategies within the leisure. On the business or big box hotels, as we call them, we were looking at Delhi as the primary target location. I think we've had success on that. We were looking at maybe adding one hotel in Bangalore from city center to the airport. That is basically the northern corridor there. We were looking at maybe a couple of other markets that we're not in, for example, Chennai. We could add one. We are already expanding with a new hotel in Hyderabad. We are expanding capacity in Pune. We are expanding capacity in Bangalore in our existing hotel. So clearly the pipeline of growth is very strong, and our focus on the strategy continues to be very, very clear. And that's the reason that Delhi has probably come up as one of the early announcements. We look forward to announcing some more in the near future.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may enter *1 to ask a question. We would also like to request participants to please limit your questions to 2. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sorry, sir, I missed your opening remarks, so sorry if something you need to repeat. Firstly, on the margins, I mean, hospitality margins improved pretty sharply, and I just want to understand how much is the improvement is because of the better mix, because obviously, you know, the room revenue was much better than the food during this time, and this is across for the industry. That's number one. And number two is there any change in strategy? Because we have been talking about adding more property into leisure and the commercial, and then we do this bidding. That's about it. These 2 questions.
So I'll get the strategy part out of the way first, Vikas. Our stated strategy always included Delhi. You can refer back to any of our conversations. Delhi and NCR was always mentioned as an area that we'd like to be in to expand our geographical presence. And Delhi being a good market, we wanted to be there. So that, with that out of the way, on your second part, on the mix of revenues, actually F&B has grown at a higher percentage than rooms. So this is in spite of F&B growing at a higher percentage than rooms, that our overall EBITDA margin on GOP margin is higher. This is driven, as Milind mentioned in his opening remarks, and I referred to it also, that, you know, two of the critical cost heads, which is payroll and wages, where our revenue percentage, our cost percentage was 13% to revenue in payroll and wages, lower by 200 bips on the earlier 15%, this is pre-pandemic I'm talking about, and on HLP cost, heat, light, power, or utilities, our percentage to revenue was 6% against Q1 FY20 number at 7%. So just these 2 costs, if we add up, there is a 300 bps margin efficiency that's been brought into the system. Plus, there are other costs that we've worked on, which are smaller in number, but they add up to larger numbers as a whole. You must remember that this has happened without the ADRs coming back to pre-pandemic. When the ADRs come back, 95% of the ADR will flow through to margins again. I hope I'm
sure, sir. Thank you. Yes. So one last question regarding this. I think the Bangalore and Hyderabad market, with most of the IT companies now calling their employees back to office, and this has been a trend since the last 15 days. Do we think that, you know, things should improve in coming months for those 2 markets?
Yeah,
That's about it. Thanks a lot.
Yes, in fact, they started improving. I touched upon it again in opening remarks. Our Marriott Hotel has in Whitefield has seen a surge in occupancies over the last 4 or 5 weeks now, and is doing extremely well. On the if you recall, the original hotel was 324 rooms, and then we had 67 rooms in the Accenture Learning Center, which we've now added to the inventory. Even with that counted in, that hotel is now at par with our overall blended occupancies in July for the portfolio, which is roughly around an occupancy of 70-odd%. In fact, in the last few weeks, those occupancies are hovering at much higher numbers. So that's Bangalore. Hyderabad has been showing good occupancies for almost about 3-4 months now. So Hyderabad in July is hovering around the 80% mark. And
sure, sir. Okay. Sorry you had to repeat that. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, participants are requested to please limit their questions to 2 per participant. Our next question is from the line of Poonam Joshi from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have 2 questions. First is, given the expansion plan wherein we are going to add roughly around 250 rooms in financial year 23, so are we going to see any rise in, variable component, fixed component, had it been like staff to room ratios or any other cost, and what percentage of cost reduction we can, see that would be sustainable in nature compared to pre-COVID levels? That is my first question. Second question, I would also like you to highlight on how leisure demand is panning in domestic markets, especially compared to that of COVID times, wherein people prefer to take vacations in India. Has the demand scenario changed compared to COVID times, or it is still the same? Yeah.
So, Poonam, as far as your question about costs on expansion, Chalet has been always very efficient on delivering high margins. And as you can see, we've only improved on that in this last quarter compared to even the pre-pandemic numbers. And with the ADR upside, that will improve further. Any addition will only improve because, from our perspective, we see because three hotels that we are, working on are expansions in capacity, which basically means that the costs, both fixed and variable, and the ratio will be lower than before. So that will actually add more higher margins to the portfolio as against impacting it negatively. So I see a positive outcome of that. On the leisure side, we don't have a leisure hotel or in our portfolio. However, we do have staycations happening in some of our hotels, as I've spoken about in the earlier calls. Pawai, for example, at the Westin in Pawai, is a fabulous location for vacations. And we see that doing extremely well with staycations over there. It's drivable within the city, beautiful lakefront, beautiful night skylines, and great product and F&B offerings. So I really don't have any inputs to share on the larger leisure market in India right now.
Okay, just a follow-up question. So what percentage of cost reduction can be see compared to pre-COVID level, if you can quantify, in case of those those capacity expansion comes into play?
So wherever there is expansion to existing capacity in that location, we expect at least 100, 200 bips improvement in that particular hotel or location. On the new ones, obviously they will go as per the trends that Chalet has been able to sort of give as far as positive results are concerned. So we see that, being very much in line with our past performances.
Okay. Just a last question. You talked about the international demand picking up somewhere in second quarter FY23. Just wanted your understanding, what occupancy level can we expect in FY23 in case if, the demand picks up later in second half of 23?
Poonam, I'll not be giving forward-looking numbers. My comment on foreign travel was actually referring to H2, which is quarter 3 onwards. we see that ramping up pretty sharply then, which will help with the rates, but I'm not giving any projections right now.
Okay. Just a last question. So basically, once this commercial project gets commenced, when can we expect the rental commencing in for those under construction project? Do we take time for the fit out and, you know, any relaxation period which we give it to the tenants once they start paying to us? So just wanted a rough understanding on this. Thank you.
So Poonam, the last input for you, and we can have a conversation later on in the cycle. The standard terms that are there for leasing activity in India will apply to all our leasing that we do in our office buildings. And so therefore, if there are rent-free periods in that particular market, we follow the norm on that.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ritwik Sheth from DFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have just one question on commercial. First one is a basic question. We have two commercial operational buildings right now. One is the Orb, which is 500,000, and one is the Whitefield, which is 0.4 million sq ft. What will be the occupancy here in Q1 FY23?
So look, Orb, which is about a little more than 500,000 actually, is almost full. It's, I think, 93% as far as the commercial space is concerned is already occupied and yielding rents. As far as Whitefield is concerned, I did share a little earlier that we've just signed an LOI recently. The building will be ready for fit-outs in October.
Okay.
And whatever time the tenants take for fitting them out, they do take their time and then move in.
Okay. Okay, so Whitefield, there is no revenue that we are getting currently. It's only the 22 crores that we have mentioned in the presentation is only from the Orb.
It is only from the Mumbai office rental.
Okay.
For now, at the airport over there, nothing else.
Okay, and just
so
a follow-up.
You have to add to that, Whitefield, one almost 1 million square foot. For Hawaii, about 750,000 square feet.
Right.
And whatever balance is left at all.
Okay. So, yeah. So, my next question was on that only, the upcoming projects which you just mentioned, Pavai and Whitefield. So, what is the status of pre-leasing at Pavai?
Pavai, we don't, so very much like Whitefield, we don't like getting into confirming any leases till the building is almost ready because we don't want to, discount the leasing. Because the rent will anyway start at a fixed time. So we'd like to get as close to completing the building. That's when we get best value from our leasing activities.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak, the building envelope is being installed and the final two and a half floors are being completed. When we have the facade up and about, and it's a stunning building, we will actually start. There's a lot of interest. There's interest from multiple large companies for that building. Many of them want to take the whole building also. But we don't want to get into confirming or signing any LOIs till we're closer to date of completion. And for the Hawaii one, we're looking at Q4 completion.
Right. So would it be fair to assume that both these buildings could take about 4 to 6 quarters to get leased out about 80% or would that be
I think Bangalore will happen much quicker.
Okay.
Bangalore should be closer to 90-95% in next, at least the tenants would have been signed up in the next maybe 3 months actually. Moving in maybe 6 to 9 months from now. As far as Pavai is concerned, because we'll start the leasing activity in Q3 of this year, we expect people to start moving in from maybe August, September next year.
Okay. So basically, you are getting 1 million at Bangalore and about 0.75 million square feet at Pavai in FY23 end.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Rizvik.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajiv from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations on great set of numbers. My question is on the CAPEX side. So the ALC conversion of 190 rooms, if I heard it right, if you were to started today, how much time does it take and how much capex does it entail?
So we are looking at roughly maybe the design time of 3 to 4 months and then start work on that. Since it is in one building, the building is already done, I think the fit out time will be around 3 quarters at maximum. And the total capex amounts that we are looking at, there is 28 crores.
Total capex we are looking at around 70-75 crores.
And that includes renovation of the existing 67 rooms.
Great. And so on the cold shell arrangement with Dial, so how are the EBITDA different in this case? Do we share something with Dial as a commission separately?
So, you know, we will come back to you with the Dial terms. We need to jointly agree to go public with this. This is a bidding process that was based on who gave the highest minimum guarantee. There were three bidders who were qualified bidders. We were declared the winners from that bid process. There will be two forms of payments to Dial for the shell and the land that they give us. Shell includes the facade work also. And the two forms of payments will be revenue share, which is a fixed percentage, or minimum guarantee, either of the two, whichever is higher.
Sure. And sir, on the Novotel acquisition, because now we have crossed this 5,000 rupees ARR and the occupancy are anyways rating high for the last 7 quarters, can you just touch upon what is the EBITDA margin, just to see what is the turnaround from the time we have acquired this?
So, look, I think recent turnaround margins look very encouraging, and this is still not full capacity. You've got to remember that we are adding 88 rooms to this hotel, which will take its inventory up from 223 to 311 keys. The EBITDA margin for this hotel was 34% for Q1 and FY23. We see this going to higher numbers, you know, 40, above 40 for sure, probably mid-40s, when all the 311 keys are in operation, because the variable cost of, fixed cost of operating those hotels, those rooms will be extremely low. Right. We see very healthy flow-throughs on that one.
And so just one clarification, you said that you're seeing 75% occupancy in July. Can you touch upon what is the ARR you've seen for the month of July so far? And
ARR is very similar to June.
Okay. And for Bombay, are we seeing substantial decline?
No, there's no substantial. June, Bombay is actually looking pretty decent. Why should they decline? June didn't have IPL in any case, right?
All right. And lastly, one question for Milinda. So on the OPEX side, so... especially on the employee cost bit, this 33 crores which we see for this particular quarter, and now we are seeing most of the hotels at pretty decent occupancy. Is it a good run rate for the entire year, barring the additional capacity which is getting added?
Rajiv, yes. We are already factored in increments for the current year, and our target is maximum to go up to 0.9 against our 0.87. So we don't see any increase, material increase as compared to the cost.
Actually, we don't see any increase here, actually. And if anything, we should be able to get more efficiencies as the rates go up. And also as the growth happens on the inventory side.
Right. No, I was just referring to, comparison against Q3 of FY22, that is 26 going to 33 crores, and even that quarter was a pretty decent quarter. So there is a 7 crores swing. I just referring to that. All the hikes are being...
Yes, if you look at the flow-through of between revenue and margin, you will find the flow-through has been very healthy in Q1.
Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please limit your questions to 2 so that the management can cover questions from all participants. Our next question is from the line of Prateek Poddar from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Sanjay. So just one question. Can you just give me an idea of the expected IRRs on the new Delhi project, given that there is an element of MG and you said even lease rental, right?
So, Prateek, this is going to be in healthy teens. I mean, I think I shared earlier that we've set up an investment matrix, and we're going to be guided by that for all investments for going forward. And I think we are looking at healthy teen IRRs on the project after deducting the rent that we'll be paying them. Sorry, did I get it?
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Poddar, please proceed. You have a question.
No, I was asking that is post-tax, right? The IRRs are post-tax, right, for you when you say healthy teen?
Yes.
Is this levered in the sense in your assumptions? Is there a debt equity ratio involved over there?
We're looking at equal mix of debt equity ratio in that in the new project. We're also looking at interest rates. Of course, we provided for slightly higher interest rates given the interest rate cycle that we're witnessing right now. So we've provided for all of that and then assessed the investment.
Got it. And lastly, you know, from an acquisition perspective, is it fair to say that this made more sense than deals on the table, if at all they were there?
No, so look, each deal is sort of assessed on its own merit. And it's not as if we are constrained by that having only one deal and we'll do only one hotel if three are on the table. Anything that makes sense to us and gives us good returns is something that we'll look at, but it has to be within the defined strategy that we have. Now, defined strategy has a mix of locations that we want to be at, the type of hotel or resort that we like to have, and the size of hotel and resort that we like to have. And of course, then it has to be mapped with which partner, brand partner to work with will be, you know, provide us the best value for investment.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Achal Kumar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity. I have only two questions, actually, if I may. So first of all, on the hotel side, the plane tickets have been very expensive now, and that has sort of slowed down the traffic growth significantly. So the domestic demand has halted, actually. So now, given that, of course, that may not have any impact on the corporate demand because that is not very price sensitive, but the leisure demand is highly price sensitive and looks like that has halted the demand. How do you see that has impacted the demand for the hotels? Or do you think the customer's behavior has changed now and that the people are preferring to drive down more to the destinations rather than taking a flight? And that will certainly help the hotel demand. So how do you see the overall equation versus the flight tickets and the slow leisure demand and you know, the changing customer behavior? And then, of course, linked to that, you know, do you think that could have a positive impact on the length of the stay? So leisure demand probably, when the leisure passengers are traveling, probably they would prefer to stay slightly longer than, you know, they would have probably thought if the flight tickets are less expensive. You know, how do you see that overall passenger behavior changing? My second question is about MICE business. How do you see MICE business? Do you think the recovery is now pre-COVID levels or is going to be recovery or in the next 6 months you see the recovery much stronger than pre-COVID levels given the fact that you are expecting a very strong pickup in the wedding session or the wedding season and all? So how do you see the MICE business recovery? Thank you.
Achal, great questions. On the air freight is getting expensive, very valid point. We haven't seen that impacting corporate travel as yet. My personal view is that the addition of more airlines as well as more capacity in airlines with Akasha, Jet Airways, Air India, all having major plans for India and within the domestic as well as international circuit will ease that pressure on pricing and thereby open up the skies within India a lot more. On the length of stay, yes, we've witnessed an increased length of stay at our hotels. I think that's driven by the fact that people want to conduct more business when they're on a trip and not have to come back on a weekly basis. So that's something that we've already noticed at all our hotels, which is a very positive sign again. On the MICE part, we think it's ramped up very quickly and very close to, in fact, probably at pre-pandemic levels now. And we've not even reached the best part of the MICE season, which is basically October to March. So, yeah, to answer your question, MICE is up back to pre-COVID, and we see an upside there too.
On the first question, you said that the no impact on the corporate demand. Yes, I mean, of course, there's no impact on the corporate demand because the corporate traffic is anyway not very price sensitive. I was actually talking about the leisure demand. How do you see the leisure impact? I mean, do you see the change in the passenger behavior? Of course, you pointed out that new airlines will come in and that will that will ease the pressure of the ticket. Of course, that is definitely the case. But now, do you see the change in the behavior of the leisure travel? Because what I'm hearing is that now, given that plane tickets are very expensive, leisure travelers are still traveling, but they are actually preferring to take their own cars and all, and then spending more on the hotels than the flight tickets. I mean, that's what exactly I wanted your opinion on, please.
Shelley doesn't have a leisure product right now. That's why I refrain from answering something that is beyond our conversation agenda today. If you would ask me as a consumer and as someone who spent 40 years in the industry, I think leisure demand continues to be strong. You're right, drivable distance seems to be the preferred option because prices for flights are high. But I think for the people who want to travel, they're not going to be deterred by too much by these prices. And on the prices front, as I said earlier, I think the addition of Akasha, Jet Airways, expansion within Air India, all of them point to more growth in capacity, which will ease the pricing pressure.
Okay. Thank you so much, and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Tanay Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are, sir.
Yes. Just on the OPEX front, basically, this was a quarter with practically no COVID disruptions. And you already alluded to the fact that you see the second half being much better than the first half with weddings and nice events. So, apart from the efficiencies in employee costs and power and fuel that you mentioned, but do you see the entire OPEX basket trending higher, especially in the second half, or do we see it continuing in this range and seeing some margin expansion in the second half?
So, Tanay, let me put it like this, that there may be an increase in OPEX costs as revenues go up, but the flow-through of any incremental business, especially if it's rate-driven business, is going to be higher than the current EBITDA margins, which means it should actually add further value to our EBITDA performance.
Understood. Fair enough. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to ask about, I mentioned the earlier part where you were explaining about CAPEX, I guess. So it was you talked about 7 billion CAPEX as well. So could you elaborate as to what that amount means and it is related to spending into which business, if you could explain it. So I actually missed that part.
Thank you, Vignesh, for the congratulations. I'll let Milind give you the inputs on this.
Yeah, Vignesh, so out of 7 billion, major component is for our two commercial buildings, that is in Powai and Bangalore, and some part is going into 88 rooms Novotel, a refurbishment of West in Powai, and West in 2, which is coming up in Hyderabad.
So this is, this is entirely for FY23, right? 700 crores?
There will be some spillover in FY24. I mean, mostly project creators will be paid
cash outflow may happen in FY 2024.
Okay.
In the current year, you're right.
Can I throw in a flavor just to make the conversation a little more interesting? We have about 1,000 crore. I'm giving a very, you know, back of the envelope number here of CapEx work in progress. The 1,000 crore CapEx work in progress is likely to yield stabilized EBITDAs of about 220 crore-225 crore incremental EBITDAs. I'm just sharing this so that you have a reference point of how important this CapEx outflow for us is.
Right.
Vinesh, to add it further, I mean, when we say 220 crore or 225 crore rupees EBITDA, this is only for four projects, which is Bangalore commercial office, Powai commercial office, and new hotel which is coming up in Hyderabad and additional 88 rooms in Pune. Apart from that, we are putting up one more commercial office in Powai that will add other 175 crore rupees EBITDA, but that is around 2.5-3 years away.
Okay. Okay. Right. I got it. Thank you for the detailed explanation. Sir, in regards to the new, you know, the T3, the hotel at T3 Delhi, can you give me what is the estimated cost of that project?
I think basically 65 lakhs per room. We're looking at roughly around, you know, somewhere between 375-400 rooms, keys as for the hotel, that you can do the math from that. Basically, looking at 275. Yeah, about 275, including IDC, design fee, you know, overheads and all that included.
Okay. Sorry, the last part again, sir. Sorry.
This 275 crore includes construction costs, IDC, design costs, overheads, site overheads, etc.
Right. Right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. That's all from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sethi for closing comments.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are as excited as we are about the future of the hospitality industry and Chalet in particular. I think the game changers for us is the sharp recovery that's happened, in my opinion, about two quarters before I expected to happen. I'd maintain that we'd probably have a full recovery by October of this year. I'm glad that it's happened in the quarter April to June. We'd anticipated that the FY 2024 will be a full year with full recovery. We see that now being far healthier than that. We're also very excited about the new announcement of the Terminal 3 airport, which will get us a foothold into Delhi, in the New Delhi region. You know, the key advantage there is that this is a terminal hotel connected with the two important terminals of T2 and T3. This is primarily gonna be a room-based hotel, so we see high margins over there. With that, I'm gonna sort of thank you all and close the proceedings for the day. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Sethi, Mr. Wadekar. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Chalet Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.